Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit HaDeshah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We are currently teaching on the vital and important subject in systematic theology called pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, which is under the umbrella of our extended series called The Great Doctrines of the Bible. So we are looking at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit according to what the Bible teaches about this divine person. I say person because last time we were with you, we were talking about the personality of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Cults like Jehovah's Witnesses teach that the Holy Spirit is not a person, but rather is the divine influence or power of Jehovah. Sadly, they do this in the face of overwhelming evidence from the Bible that teaches and clearly reveals to the reader that the Holy Spirit is not only a person, but is God Himself. We looked at some of the evidence for that in Scripture, showing that the Holy Spirit is not just a mere force, influence, or power, but He is a person. He is a person. Remember what Jesus said in John 4:24. God is a spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes from God. He is a divine person. One reason I think the Holy Spirit is unfairly diminished in the study of God in Scripture is that His title is not as endearing or personal as the other two persons of the triune Godhead. The Father and Son have titles which evoke human feelings and intimacy about them, whereas the title Holy Spirit, or in the authorized version of the Bible, Holy Ghost, does not immediately connote the idea of personality. But remember that the Holy Spirit is a person, just as evil spirits in the Scriptures are real. Evil spirits are demons, the fallen angels who rebelled with Lucifer. Angels are also spirit beings, and yet they have personalities. The Holy Spirit is a real person. Though He is invisible and incorporeal, that means He's without a body, His invisible work is seen by visible evidences, and He works within the Church of Jesus Christ. He indwells bodies of men and women who have been redeemed by God. So though the Holy Spirit's invisible, He works in visible ways. Though the Holy Spirit is incorporeal, that is, without a body, He indwells the physical bodies of the redeemed. A beautiful, seemingly paradoxical interplay that we have here, nonetheless true. The person of the Holy Spirit is important to emphasize and teach, first and foremost, because that is what the Bible teaches about Him. As the heretical cult, the Jehovah Witnesses do, that the Holy Spirit is not a person flies in the face of what the Bible teaches and shows to be the opposite. That is, the Holy Spirit is a divine person. Time does not allow us here to examine the Jehovah's Witnesses' heretical denial of the person of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, they take few scriptures, twist them out of context to justify their unfounded teaching concerning the Holy Spirit. We don't have enough time to delve into that. Perhaps in a future series that I'm contemplating doing on the cults, we will get into what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach about the Holy Spirit as based upon their twisted views of Scripture, or they take Scripture out of context to try to justify that teaching and their other false teachings. So to teach the Holy Spirit is not a person flies in the face of Scripture and is contrary to Scripture. Also, to deny the person of the Holy Spirit is to deny the true identity of the Godhead. God is made up of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you deny one person of the Godhead, you deny them all. There can be no compromise on who God is with those like the Jehovah's Witnesses who deny the Holy Spirit as a person. And to a larger extent, there can be no compromise with groups like them and others who deny the Trinity. They are espousing a wrong God, another God, not the God of the Bible, when they deny the Holy Spirit is God and a person. To speak of the Holy Spirit as an it is improper. Now, that's a problem that you have with the authorized version, the King James Version of the Bible, particularly in Romans 8, 16, and 26. Romans 8, 16, and 26. There we read the Holy Spirit is referred to as an it. The Spirit Himself bears, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. But the correct translation is Himself. Himself. So, this clearly means that the Holy Spirit is a person. Indeed, in John's Gospel, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit by the repetitive use of the third person masculine pronoun. Third person singular masculine pronoun. He, him, his, and so forth. Jesus uses these personal singular masculine pronouns for the Holy Spirit over 10 times. That would not make sense if you did not understand the Holy Spirit as a person, having the qualities and traits of a personality. This was the problem, I believe, with Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8, 9 through 24. He saw the person of the Holy Spirit at work through the apostles to perform miracles of healing and exorcisms. He mistakenly assumed that this was just a mere power, force, and supernatural phenomena without realizing the Holy Spirit that was doing these things through the apostles is a person. And we know that Simon the sorcerer sought to purchase this power, not realizing that it was God, it was the apostles under the control of God, the Holy Spirit, and not the other way around. It's amazing today to see in the church this behavior that the Holy Spirit is under the whim and control of those claiming to walk in His power and those claiming to perform by His power. It's as, almost as if the Holy Spirit is under their command and under their jurisdiction. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Holy Spirit is God, and as God, He sovereignly determines where, when, and who He works through. To deny that the Holy Spirit is a person and therefore God, divine person, hinders our relationship with God. If we don't know who God truly is, then we cannot have a relationship with Him in the truest sense. And it is the third person of the Trinity, which God Himself comes and lives within each born-again believer. This would be impossible if the Holy Spirit were merely a force or influence. The Holy Spirit is called our advocate, friend, comforter, helper, and indweller. He is the one who regenerates us, sanctifies us, and so forth. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit living and indwelling the believer, it is more than just a mere influence living within him. The believer has the person of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit is revealed as a person time and time again in Scripture. And we're going to go through this exhaustive list here. And anyone who examines the Scripture passages demonstrating that the Holy Spirit is clearly a person and still can maintain the heretical belief that the Holy Spirit is not a person but is a force or influence is willfully blind, and they give an unthinking and uncritical allegiance to their false doctrine. It is simple as that. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is revealed as a person. He is the third person of the eternal Godhead. He is often associated in name with the person of the Father and the person of the Son. When Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, He told the church to preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This would be meaningless to read scriptures like this and still see and maintain the Father and Son as persons associated with a mere influence or impersonal force. Again, personality in the Godhead does not necessitate corporeality. If it did, then the Father and the Holy Spirit would not be persons, since they do not inhabit a body, as God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, does. So, personality in the Godhead does not necessitate or require corporeality. And you could even argue that with God the Son. Before God the Son became a human, He was still God. He chose to become a man in order to be our kinsman redeemer. But His deity was not dependent upon corporeality. And this is equally applicable and true with the invisible power and person of the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit is a person because in Scripture He is constantly referred to with the use of personal pronouns. The third person singular masculine pronoun of he, him, and himself, and so forth. Now, sometimes we do have the word Spirit in the neuter. But the Lord Jesus used personal pronouns when He spoke of the Holy Spirit. All throughout His farewell discourse, or what some call the Paschal discourse, in John 14 through 17, Jesus frequently spoke of the Spirit using singular masculine gender pronouns. If you want scriptural citations for that, I refer you to John 14:15 and 16, John 14 verses 15 and 16, and verse 26, John chapter 16 verses 7 through 14, and John 15, verses 26 and 27. Those are some of the verses where Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit by using personal masculine singular pronouns. In order to be a person, you have to have mind, will, emotions, and intellect. And these are the four main qualities which constitute the personality of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a mind, Romans 8:27. And with that mind comes an intellect, two features of a personality, 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 13. The Holy Spirit has a will, 1 Corinthians 12:11. The Holy Spirit has emotions, Romans 8:26 and 27, and Colossians 1:8. Again, this would be utterly meaningless if the Holy Spirit were a mere influence or power, an impersonal force does not have these kinds of sentient or cognitive qualities of mind, will, emotions, and intellect like the Holy Spirit does. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit in Scripture is spoken of under personal titles that would only make sense if you were speaking about a person. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He comforts somebody. He is also the advocate or the defense attorney for the sinner. John 14, verse 16 and 26. John 15, 26. John 16, 7. John 14, 16, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit another comforter who takes the place of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ. Vicar means one who represents another on his behalf in his absence for him. And I'm going to add as an aside, the Pope is not the vicar of Christ. That's a blasphemous doctrine that is false and contrary to Scripture. There's only one divine representative for Jesus in his physical absence from earth, taking his place, and that would be the Holy Spirit alone, as Jesus taught in John 14, 16. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter who takes the place of Jesus for him, and you could not speak of the Holy Spirit in this capacity or function, or Jesus could not speak of the Holy Spirit in this capacity or function unless the Holy Spirit was a person. So the Holy Spirit comes as a person to personally indwell and minister to the New Testament believer in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, quickly by way of review, is a person, as Scripture indicates, because He's revealed as a person. Because He is referred to with the third person singular masculine pronouns for the most part. The Holy Spirit has the qualities of personality, mind, will, emotions, and intellect. The Holy Spirit is referred to with the use of personal titles. And we add, the Holy Spirit is a person because He performs personal acts. Again, this would not make sense if the Holy Spirit was merely an impersonal force. All throughout the Scriptures, we see the Holy Spirit performing personal acts precisely because He is a person. 1 Corinthians 12:11, the Holy Spirit works. 1 Corinthians 2:10, the Holy Spirit searches out the mind of God. The Holy Spirit speaks the thoughts from the mind of God. Acts 13:2. Revelation 2:7. 2 Samuel 23:2 in the Old Testament. Matthew 10:20. 1 Timothy 4:1, where Paul says the Spirit expressly speaks that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And might I add, one of the doctrines of demons today is the teaching that the Holy Spirit is not a person. The Spirit speaks. Again, you could not have an impersonal entity speaking to you. In order to speak to someone and make sense, you have to utilize the medium of language. And only sentient beings with personality who are persons can do this. I mean, how much evidence does a person need from Scripture to obviously show them the Holy Spirit is a person? The Spirit testifies, John 15:26 and Nehemiah 9:30. This Spirit bears witness. 1 John 5:6, but also on that score, go to Acts. Acts, when Jesus tells them that He will ascend to heaven and send the Holy Spirit in His place, what was the purpose for the sending of the Spirit on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost? And, well, Jesus talks about in Acts 1, 6 through 8 how He tells them to stay in Jerusalem and not many days after He ascends, He will send the Holy Spirit. And what will the Holy Spirit do? Well, He will give them the power. The Holy Spirit will give the apostles the power to be witnesses concerning Jesus. Jesus says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Witnesses meaning people who share the gospel of Jesus Christ, bearing the truth of what He has accomplished for mankind's redemption. So when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells, He makes us witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. He bears witness. The Spirit of God teaches us about the things of God. John 14:26. The Spirit instructs. Nehemiah 9:20. The Spirit reproves or convicts the unbelieving world of their sin of unbelief. John 16:8 through 11. The Holy Spirit prays and makes intercession for us. Romans 8:26. I think it's pretty obvious now that no mere impersonal force or influence could do something like this. To do these things that require a person committing these actions. The Spirit leads, Matthew 4:1. The Holy Spirit guides a believer into all truth, John 16:13. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ, John 16:14. The Holy Spirit brings about regeneration, John 3:5 and 6. The Holy Spirit cleanses us like water. The Holy Spirit strives with men, as He did in the antediluvian period in the days of Noah, Genesis 6:3. The Spirit convicts men, John 16:8. The Spirit sends messengers from God, Isaiah 48:16. The Spirit calls and commissions men into ministry. We see this in Acts 13, where the church gathers together, prayed over Barnabas and Saul, now known as Paul, and sent them forth. Again, how can you have an impersonal thing do that, which only a person can do? Acts 13:2, Acts 20, verse 28. The Holy Spirit directs men in the service of God. Acts 8:29, Acts 10:19, Acts 16:6 and 7. The Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gifts to the members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11. So we see here through this list I've just given you that the Holy Spirit is a person and therefore able to perform personal acts, something a non-person could not do. It's simply impossible. Moving on, the Holy Spirit is a person, as Scripture teaches, because the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit possesses emotions and feelings that are attributed to a person and cannot be said of an impersonal power. Ephesians 4:30, we are exhorted not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Hebrews 10:29 warns people who reject the once-for-all final atonement of Yeshua for all sin. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 10:29 warns that in doing so, the Holy Spirit can be insulted. And then the great classical passage, not only proving the Holy Spirit is a person, but proving that He is God, is in Acts 5:3, where we are told the Holy Spirit can be lied to. And Peter goes on to say about the Holy Spirit in that chapter to Ananias and Sapphira, "You have not lied unto men, but unto God." And the antecedent to God in those verses in Acts 5, the opening verses, is the Holy Spirit. Thus, the Holy Spirit and God are one, the same. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. Matthew 12:31-32. Again, only God can be blasphemed. And here is another strong indication that the Holy Spirit is God because He and a person, both because He can be blasphemed, as Jesus teaches in Matthew 12. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. Acts 7:51, Stephen upbraiding unbelieving Israel for resisting and refusing to believe Jesus is the Messiah. The Holy Spirit can be tempted. Now, let me clarify that. The Holy Spirit is not tempted to do evil, but people can tempt Him by doing certain things that go against His will and authority. The Holy Spirit can be vexed. Isaiah 63:10. I don't know if I gave the scripture about the Holy Spirit being tempted. That's Acts 6:9. Going through these so fast that I sometimes fail to mention the scripture passages, or when I do, I forget and I have to mention them again. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. Quench not the Holy Spirit, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. So all of these emotional capabilities attributed to the Holy Spirit clearly demonstrate He is a divine person, and no less. He is not an impersonal force or influence. He would have to be a person for all of these things to be true, for Him to perform personal acts and to have personal feelings. He would have to be a person. The Holy Spirit is God who indwells the redeemed members of Jesus' church in this age, and He works within the believer to sanctify him and ultimately glorify Him and thus fulfill the will of God. It is a privilege and honor by God's sovereign grace that the Spirit would live in such sinners as ourselves, who the Spirit puts up with our own frailties and fleshly inconsistencies. I think you and I, as sinners saved by grace, would agree with that. Thank God for the power, person, and work of the Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew. Well, again, let us hear from you. We need to hear from you. If you are benefiting from these sound teachings from the Word of God, we need to hear from you. The announcer will tell you how you can get a hold of us at the end of this broadcast. Please think about financially supporting our ministry. This ministry is not only committed to teaching the whole counsel of God, but We are also committed to taking the gospel back to the Jew first, in Israel, according to Romans 1:16. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.